Today's daf is Bamasi daf Mem Gimel. We are picking up from Mem Beis, Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the page, the last of, I think, five stories of scenarios with obligations, with Avedas. Says Gemara, Hu Gavra, the Afkin, I should say Avedas, really more Pekadim. Hu Gavra, the Ifkin, Keshusa Gabi Chavri. There's a fellow, he deposited some Keshusa or hops, which are typically used to make beer. He deposited these hops by his friend, Havle Lidei Nami, carried the Keshusa. And his friend, the Shamer, also had his own hops. So the Shomer said to his own Mesharis, pointing to his own personal hops, go take them, and Mahairami, take from these hops and put it into the beer that we're in the middle of making. The Shamish went and accidentally took from the hops that were given as a pekadon, from the hops of the Baal pekadon, the ones that were supposed to be watched for the other fellow, and he put those into the brew that they were making. Amar Amram, so Rambam says, again, this is a lesson we had in a few of the stories from yesterday. How is the judge going to judge this case? Meaning, who are we going to be able to pin a chiyav on? And the Gemara explains, namely ladidei zilshalim, to tell the shomer himself, the shomer pekadon, that he has to pay. What's he going to say? Amar, ana amrilei mahay rami. I told my mesharis to take from mine. I specifically said take for mine. He took for the wrong ones. Haki mechayev me. I wasn't peshe. I didn't do anything wrong. How is that my fault? Name of the sire said, okay, so tell the shamish. You took the wrong ones. You got to pay. Zil sham, you should pay. Amar, the shamish will say, lo'amali mehai rami mehai lo'i tir me. Yeah, he told me take from those, but I didn't realize those were his and the other ones weren't his. He said take from those, but I didn't think it was so important. I didn't think it was so specific. And therefore, had he told me take from this pile and not that pile, I would have been more careful. But he didn't give me enough of the description to be careful. So I am innocent in my, we'll call it somewhat mistake. So therefore, I don't have to pay either. Says him one second. Before we get into who should pay, if the Mesharis took more time to bring it because he didn't take from the hops that were close by that they belonged to the Balabayas, he took from the ones that he was watching, which the Gemara presumes at this point were further away, and he didn't bring it in the normal amount of time, he took extra time, the owner who saw that the Mesharis took extra time should have chapped that he went to the wrong pile, and the fact that he didn't say anything shows he was not happy with it. So the Chiv should go back on him. On the Baal Bayis, says the Mar B'dleisha. No, we're talking about a case where it didn't take an extra time. Meaning, maybe the two piles were pretty, as sounded from the beginning of the story, were not pretty decent, pretty close proximity to each other. They weren't that far apart, so it wouldn't take a noticeable amount of time to go from one to take from one or to take from the other one. Okay, safe Mar says still. My pseidik, how come Mishtar Shilei? This is you say we've had in the past. Now lechayra the Shomer benefited. Okay, bottom line is, the hops were needed for beer. The hops were used in his beer. Let's forget about Chiyuv Amalts being a bad Shomer, not watching properly. Pesheya, not Pesheya, his Gataina. Forget about that. He benefited using the hops for their purpose. His beer got better from it. So let him just pay the value of the hops to the owner that he took it from. He was supposed to watch it for this, for the Baal Pekadon. Pay him for it, because he got the benefit anyway. Says the Gemara. Two answers. Answer number one, Amar of Samar Beit Rava, Tavle Shichrachal. The case was, Hachmai Eskinan, that the beer became spoiled. The beer became vinegar. Now, the point is that it became vinegar. That's not bad luck. But apparently the way these hops mixed with this guy's brew, it became vinegar, so you didn't gain anything. To say, let's just explain it away, let's just get rid of the issue and say the Shomer has to pay because he benefited, he has no benefit, because we're talking about a case where it became spoiled, so he talked it didn't benefit, so that's not an Eitzah. And based on what we said till now, so what comes out is, we didn't say over here a solution like we had in the prior Gemaras, but so far what comes out according to Rav Samabed Rav's Teretz is that Enochami, no one's going to have to pay. The Shomer doesn't have to pay because he wasn't negligent. He just told his Mesharis to take from his own hops, not take from other ones, but he said take from my hops. And the Mesharis messed up. And the Mesharis said, I didn't get strong enough instructions that you can hold me accountable, and he's also exempt, and the Baal Pekadon would lose out. That's what comes out according to the first Teretz. Rav Ashi Amar Bekisi. The cases where the hops that were given for Shmira were hops that were shvacher, a little bit shvacher. They had thorns mixed in them. They were shvacher level of hops. And therefore, the beer wasn't as good as what the Shomer would have wanted by putting those hops into the beer. But the Mesharis put the wrong ones. It wasn't something he took from the ones that didn't belong to the Baal Bayis. That belonged to the Shomer. He took one that belonged to the other person left as Bekata. But it's worse than that taking the wrong ones. They were inferior hops. And therefore, says the Gemara, top of And therefore, the sherem is taking himself to pay the value of shvach or haps. He still benefit that value, but he doesn't have to pay doesn't pay full price because he only benefit in a weaker amount. So big enough medium between two terutzim, according to his second terutz, he does have to pay. The shemir will be paying at least for something. According to the first terutz, l'chare the Balpakadan would be receiving based on the original taina of Ram Amram, l'chare the Balpakadan will be receiving nothing from either the shemir or the Misharis because they each have an excuse. They're both not totally off the hook because they both, there was a little bit of a miscommunication and they should have been more careful, but not enough to make them chayev. If you're quoting the last story, again, the Gemara didn't say that explicitly, but the Gemara just gives an eitzah why you'd be chayev because you benefited. The Gemara says, you didn't benefit because of vinegar. And therefore what? It doesn't say, and therefore you still chayev something. It doesn't say they chayev anything. So according to the first lashon, you're not chayev. According to the second lashon, you chayev at least the price of cheaper types of hops. In the last Gemara yesterday, before we saw the Mishnah, we discussed about the apitropis who bought a cow on behalf of an ox, on behalf of the Yisaimim, and it was bought from a middleman who didn't realize there's no teeth, and they didn't notify him, and the animal died because it couldn't eat. So Rashi at least learned that Gemara, we spoke about it yesterday, but Rashi learned that Gemara that there was an assessment done that what makes the most sense is to pay Demei Basa Bazil. The value of the Basa Bazil should be paid to the middleman who should have been notified that his cow was defective, and he could have done something with it to grab some value out of it. So the fact that he wasn't notified, those the ones who bought it, they notify him have to pay to make bus or bazal. So Rashi seems to learn Taisa says it's actually the value that the middleman would have gotten because he would sell it right away, no matter what the time of the year was, in a cheaper market to just skew chechted and sell it because it's going to die anyway. So that's the price he would have gotten. So that's what he gets back. But according to Rashi, it was we said a svara that we assess what's a fair amount to pay because there really is no direct chiyuv on any one person, but everyone, there was a few components that may have been, we'll call it a shtickel negligent, so we don't pay the guy full price, he does not entitled to get back full price for what he lost, but the people involved who had the animal by then when it died also have to pay up because they should have protected it better. No one's fully chayiv and no one's fully putter. That's how Rashi explained the pshara that we had in that last Gemara. For some reason, this Gemara, there was no pshara stated. Okay. Says the Mishnah. You say this to the Mishnah. If one is mafkin money by a shulchani, he deposits money by a shulchani. Now, the Mishnah doesn't actually have three cases, shulchani, baal bayis, and chemini. The question really is, when he's depositing the money by these three people respectively, are they entrusted to use the money in the interim? Or no, they're just supposed to hold it for safekeeping? So the Mishnah makes a chiluk between the three cases. Hamafkin ma'is is a shulchani, one deposits money by a shulchani, by a money changer, then the halacha is as follows. Imtru, and if it's bundled up, tied up, le'ishamish b'am. That means he doesn't want it to be going out to be used. The shulchan, he can't use it. And the fikha, since he can't use them, abdu, if it gets lost, because effectively he's like a shem rechinam, can't even use it, has no benefit. He's on a shayel, let's assume now, he's on a shayel or shem rechinam, he's a shem rechinam, and therefore if it gets lost, shem rechinam is pater on aveda, and therefore he's pater. However, mutarin, if the money was mutter, literally means loose, the money was untied, mutarin was untied, so then yishamish b'am, the shulchani has the rights to use it, and since he has the rights to use it, l'fikach imavdu, if the money's get lost, he's chayev to pay for it, because he has the status of, well, machleik is thinking more about that, is it a status of a shem sachar? Is being paid because he gets to use it, that's like a shem sachar, and a shem sachar is chayev in gnev and aveda, so he'd be chayev, makes sense, or maybe he's even more than that, maybe he's a shayel, the fact he gets to use it, it's like a shayel. It's interesting because you don't typically find shayel on mammon. Mammon, it's your leva, right? Shayel's on items, on chafetzim. Really, you're a leva. But over here, we are definitely treating it like a shayel because we're not concerned about any ribbis issues, even though you're benefiting the right to use it. We're going to consider it a pekadon. But the shayel is, again, is it a shayel or is it a shem sachar? That's going to be machlekes of Huna and Rachman in the Gemara. That's all by a shulchani. Eitz ba'bayis, the assumption is may leave money by your friend, ba'bayis. There's no intent for him to use it. And therefore, bein tshurim, bein mitarim, whether the money's tied up, whether it's loose, the Babaya shouldn't use it. The Fikach, since he can't use it at all, Imavdu, if it gets lost, because he's a classic Shem Echinim, if it gets lost, he's Pater on Aveda. And lastly, the third case, Chemini, Babayas. A Chemini is treated like the Babayas, Divrei Meir. A Chemini is a storekeeper, so do we treat him like a Babayas, but the money's not assumed to be used? Or is he more like a Shulchan, he's in business, and therefore the money's going to be used? So it's Machlokes. Rameir says, Chemini's like a Babayas, the money's not supposed to be used, and therefore if it gets lost, he's going to be Pater. Whereas, Rabbi Daimer, Rabbi says, no, Chemini is just like a shulchani. He has the rights to use it. Again, assuming it wasn't bundled up and tied up. If it was loose and not tied up, he has the rights to use it. And therefore, if it gets lost, he's chayev b'achrayis. Before we actually go further in the Gemara, there's a piece that we didn't have a chance to speak at yesterday, but it's a very important piece. I mean, there's a big, Taisus really references it. And that is, we'll just speak out the aside, that Gnev of Aveda, we know Shem Esach is chayev Gnev Aveda. Shem Echina is putter in everything besides for outright Pashiyah. Shoyel is chayev in everything. even einus shalos chayiv and einzim. They're just exempt by baal of imay or meis machmas lacha, two exceptions. Otherwise, chayiv and everything. And the shem besachar is chayiv and pshia, of course, like a shem bechinam. Also chayiv and gnev aveda, but pater and einus. So gnev aveda is interesting in that. From the two categories, Gnev Aved, Gnev means it was stolen, Aved means it was lost, I could easily hear that Aveda could slide pretty much into the category of Pshia. How'd you lose it? It was given to you to watch. You shouldn't have lost it. Maybe you weren't mamish negligent, but the fact that it's lost is this, we'll call it Karv Pshia. And Gneva, it was stolen. Yeah, maybe you could have watched it better. We had the worry yesterday about burying the money in order that it shouldn't be stolen. So maybe there are better ways to watch it, but you're really closer to Einus when it comes to Gneva. Right, but the bottom line is, Shem Yisrach is chayv on both Gneva Aveda, and a Shem Echino is Pater. Even on Aveda is Pater, on Gneva Aveda, we lump them together. But it says, the Rishani speak out, Teisvis and others, that there's Nafkamina. Because Gneva is Karev Lemezid, again, it's not really so relevant, a little relevant today, but much more relevant yesterday, but because Gneva is Karev Lemezid, so let's say you have a case where, I don't want to say it's Chasim Shiv Seif Einis, which is what we did discuss yesterday, but let's say you have a case where there was an element of Einis in the Gneva. Those elements of Einis Gneva, you'd still be chayev. Because Gneva, by definition, already is close to Einis, and still you're chayev. So if there's another an added twist, if it's not 100% Einis, you're right, they're going to be chayev by Gneva. Whereas by Aveda, Chiddush, even though Aveda was saying it's typically more negligent, fine. Aveda l'maisi chayev. But maybe only chayev by Aveda where it wasn't Einis. Aveda doesn't typically connote having any element of Einus there. It's Karv L'Pshi, we said. So what if you had a scenario where the Aveda has in it a strong element of Einus? Then maybe you would be putter. Again, if it's Einus Gomer, you putter anyway by Shem B'Sachar. But Aveda has an element of Einus, maybe you'd be putter there faster because, ironically enough, by Aveda, faster than Geneva, because Aveda, all we know is Yechayev when it's close to Pshia. We don't know the Yechayev when it's close to Einus. You say Chiddush from the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, back in our Gemara now. So we have three different scenarios. We have the Chemveni, the Balabayas, and the Shulchani. Says the Gemara. By the Shulchani, we said if the money is bundled up, he cannot use it. Because the money is bundled up, he couldn't use it. Rashi says the norm is a person puts money in a wallet, in a pouch. It's very normal. Why is the fact that it's bundled up any indication that he doesn't want the money to be used? There's two answers. Answer number one is, we're talking about where it was bundled up and it was sealed. There was a seal on it. The fact that he put a seal on it, that's pretty clear. A seal is an indication that the owner doesn't want it to be used. Rav Mari Amar, Bekesha Mishona, it was bundled up, and on top of the bundle was a unique knot, which we had not so long ago, a little chazar from us, Lagavi Simanu, Lagavi Aveda, if a Kesher Mishona is considered a simon, a unique knot is a simon. So here, Kesher Mishona tells us that he doesn't want it to be used. Igida Amri, some say, by Rav Mari. Mari didn't say as a statement, it was more of a question, as a shayla. Kesher Mishona, what's my Kesher Mishona? Is that like a seal and good enough to indicate that he doesn't want the money to be used or not? And Teku, the shayla is left unresolved. We always say, Teku stands for Tishbi, Yetiritz, Kashas, Rabbias. We've spoken in the past why it's Tishbi, why it's Eliyahu Navi, and why not Maisha Rabbeinu? Why not Mishbi? Okay, let's leave it for now. Let's leave it. We have a lot to cover in the next, really more the next Mishnah and the ensuing Amud is a very geschmack, but a little bit of a lengthy cheshbon. Okay, says the Gemara further. Mitar Mishamishbam. We say in the Mishnah, if the money is loose, you can mishtamish with the money. Amar Rav Huna, Fafilun Ensu. So again, if the money is loose by the Shulchani has rights to use it. It's understood. Shulchani may want to use the money. He has rights to use it. Now, what's the status? Let's work backwards before we see the Gemara. Is the fact that he's able to use it, therefore he's chayiv and einzim? I shouldn't say einzim. Therefore he's chayiv that gets lost in Aveda. Is it because he's a shayil? He's like a shayil? Or like a shem esachar? Nafkamina would be, if it's because he's like a shayil, he's chayiv and einzim. If it's he's like a shem esachar, he's pater and einzim. Says the Gemara, it's machlaikas. Amar Rav Huna v'afil and Rav Huna says, the chayiv is chayiv, even if an einzim happens to the money, he's still chayiv. Why? Presumably because Rav Huna doesn't understand he's like a shayil. Ask the Gemara about Abduktani, but the Mishnah say the Mishnah Abdu. Why the Mishnah pick a case of Abdu? It should have said a case of Einus. The Gemara says that's what it means. Okay, the Rabbah, like Rabbah explained other Mishnayos, we've mentioned the reference already. The Mishnah is going to come up actually in 2 weeks from now, but we've referenced this is the Rabbah that sometimes uses the word Gneva Aveda, and it doesn't mean the classic Gneva Aveda, it means full fledged Einus, such as Dam Rabbah, Nignu Bilista Mazuyim, Gneva by armed robbers, nothing you can do by armed robbers, or Avdu, Aveda, Shavus Ben Espiyam, where the ship was drowning at sea. The ship is capsizing at sea. That's mamish. It's lost. If it's the words avdu, but that's an avdu. That's clearly an einus, and that's what we mean in our Mishnah. If the money got avdu, the chemin is going to be chayev. And according to Funa, even if it's the full einus, he's chayev. Why? That logic is because if one holds, he's like a shayel. Now Rav Nachman says no. Nensu loy avad by nensu. You're not going to be chayev. If it's an einus, you're pater. Only you only chayev for gnei aveda. You're not chayev for einsim. So Amalei Rav, Rav says Rav Nachman, I don't understand your logic. Amalei Rav, Rav Nachman, L'didach, according to you, the Amrit Nansu Lo Yisei Nainis, the Chemenis Pater, if you got the Amrit Nainis. So Alma, that means you're saying he's not a shoyl, which is exactly what we've been saying. You're not having an answer because must be because he's not a shoyl. He's not considered, the chemi's not called a shoyl on the money. The fact that he could use it doesn't make him a shoyl. Says the Gemara, Yishoyl Havi. So Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, if he's not a shoyl, then why is he shem b'sachar? Why you're saying he's having a grave aveda? Must be treated like a shem b'sachar. The fact that he could use it makes him that he's a shem b'sachar. So what? How are you splitting it? Why are you saying it's a shem b'sachar, not a shoyl? Either he's able to use it, that makes him a shoyl, or he's not able to use it, and. Or being able to use it doesn't make play a role, and he shouldn't be shem b'sachar. So Rav Nachman explains, no, that's exactly the line. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Pamadina lach. Rav Nachman says, I admit to you as follows: the hell v'nena mahana avadu. The fact that he's able to use it, that's ana mamish ana that we related to yesterday's daf about Rabbi Yitzchak. Get a few members of Rabbi Yitzchak about a person having tzar takesu biyadcha. You should have your money present in your hand, always have cash available. An opportunity comes up, a good deal comes up, opportunity arises, you have money, cash available to buy it. That's also one of the reasons why Rabbi Yitzchak, again, Rabbi Yitzchak says, the person who yashash his money is some in real estate, some in business, and some in cash. Again, the cash, we said, the cash mile is, it's available to do deals when opportunity arises. So says Rav Nachman Teravuna, I understand that just the having that knowledge that because you have this money, it's deposited by you as a shochan, and you can use it, that if a deal comes up, you'll be able to use the money in it, that knowledge is enough to be ana, and once you have ana, that's enough to be a shem b'sachar. Says Gemara, mahana, bahu ana, that ana that he gets for having it available to him, the Gemara spells out for us, if a purchase comes up, an opportunity comes up, this, but we can make a lot of profit, zavim, but we can use this money to buy it, that's a great mila, and that's enough, have a look shem b'sachar. That's enough to make a shem b'sachar. But to use that, the fact that he has the ability, he has money at hand, he has like a line of credit almost, he has an opportunity to use the money if needed, if an opportunity comes up, that's not enough to make him a shell. And Rashi's medayik, very clearly. Rashi says, but Rav Nachman agrees that, and Echrami, to an extent, to what Rav was saying, if the Chemveni, I keep saying Chemveni, if the Shulchani would actually go and use that money for a business opportunity that comes up, Avad, he's a shell. It's just in this interim time, the rights to use it without actually using it, that's not enough to make him a shayel. That would make him only a shem b'sachar. Still hana, he has the line of credit, but it's a shem b'sachar. But once he actually uses it, even Rav Nachman would agree, once he's using it, he would have the status of a shayel. And once he's a shayel, he's chayev, even an einsim. The idea is because of a shayel, there's actually a whole discussion. Once talking about a shayel, it's chayev an einsim. It's a whole discussion of the Rishonim. We've touched on the past, but it comes up again over here, very late to our sugya, because we're trying to determine whether the Chemini is a shayel, or whether the Shulchani is a shayel or not. And if he's a shayel, he's mechayev, even an einsim. The logic of a shayel mechayev an einsim, the basic logic is that once a shayel takes hold of it, and he has all the benefit, the Gemara says, he has all the kol nashalei. And therefore what? The verdict of kol nashalei means he's kind it in a way that we treat as if it's his. If I'm an owner of something and an itis happens, it's unfortunate, it's my bad luck, it's my loss. Since the shell gets all the benefit and he has kinyani shela, key point, once he's kind it with kinyani shela, therefore the loss becomes fully his, and if it gets damaged, even minus, he has to pay it back full price to the owner and he suffers the loss. So the idea is, once he's actually using it, even Nachman's going to agree, his status of a shell, and you have to pay back even for itis. Okay. But this explanation I just gave, by the way, is Taisus. Taisus says that the reason why Shaul is chayv and einsim is because he's kainit. It's like a part of kinyan. He's kainit, and therefore he becomes meshubit. He becomes like the bialim, and just like a bialim, they lose it. If it gets damaged, it's their loss. It becomes a shaul's loss. Other sharim learn a little different. The Ritva learns that no, lav dafka kinyan. You don't need the kinyan. You don't need the kinyan element to mechayv as a shaul. It's the verb is like kind of like just sticking with the words of the Gemara. Since all the benefits of the item right now go to the shayel, it's like either you could say it's umdun, it's understood, or takanas chamum. It's not really because it seems to be more dintera. But the it makes sense the din should be the one who gets all the benefits gets the achrayas, not because of kinyan. So Taisus learning with that kinyan, he becomes like a kabbal bayis. He becomes like the owner. Ritva seems to be learning even without that. The fact that he gets all the benefit that alone creates a chiyuv on the einsim. Okay, now before we go further, we're going to ask Akasha on this in this discussion, but really, this idea, the fact that you have the rights as the line of credit to use in case you need it, it's starting to sound very similar. We're not going to compare it totally to this, but it does remind us shades of the Gemara in, we had it earlier in this Pesachta, of course, already. For some reason, my mind sticks out more, maybe because we had it first in Bava Kamma, in Akainis. The famous Machlokes is Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, a Shemer Aveda. A Shemer Aveda, what's the status? He's watching Aveda. Is he a Shemer Chinam or is he a Shemer Sachar? Rabba versus Rabbi Yosef. Rabba says Shemer Chinam, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Yosef says Shemer Sachar. Why is Rabbi Yosef Shemer Sachar? Because since he benefits that he gets to save, we just had a couple weeks ago, he gets to save the pruta from giving to the ani while he's doing this mitzvah. He's part of giving a pruta to the ani because he's being Isaac in the midst of Shavuos Aveda. So Bahiyana, he becomes a Sher B'Sachar because he gets benefits of that money. And Rabbi says, no, he's not called a Sher B'Sachar. Others say, by the way, the Sher B'Sachar, not so much the prut that he benefits, but the fact that he's doing a mitzvah from Hashem, it's like a schar, it's a job. And therefore, it elevates from Sher B'Chin to Sher B'Sachar. By the way, it's a Sher B'Sachar. Let's go to the Pshat, the Lash of the Gemara. But yeah, no, that he gets to save the Pruta. Our Gemara seems to be dabbling into that idea. But yeah, no, that he has it available to use it, he becomes a Sher B'Sachar. But the first one don't make such a massive connection to that Gemara, actually, in Bava Kama and by us. They make a much bigger connection to the Gemara we had back on Daf Chavtes, just 13, 14 months ago, 2 weeks ago. The Gemara discusses if I have an Aveda, if I found an Aveda, and the Aveda is such that the cost of the Aveda is more than the value of the Aveda. So what happens is, an animal, let's say an animal doesn't produce. So my cost of feeding and maintaining an animal is worth more than the animal itself. Eventually, it's going to eat into the value of the animal. So when the guy comes back to get his animal, if it takes him, you know, a year, to, or however long it takes for him to get it back, up to a year, we said you keep it. If you wait that long, the amount he's going to owe you for taking care of the animal is worth more than the animal itself. It's no point having such an Aveda. What do you do? You sell it, and you put the money aside for the owner to pay him back. Now, the Gemara had a chakir over there, and a machlekes, what do you do with that money? And the answer, while the Baal Aveda is gone, you sold his Aveda because you didn't want it to depreciate his old asset. You sold it, now you have the money. Are you allowed to use the money or not? The Gemara brought a machlekes if you're allowed to use it, and if you do use it, what your status is. The Gemara brings a machlekes. Well, the Gabi, that Gemara, we paskin that the status is like a Sher B'Sachar. Yet in our Gemara, we're going to paskin that the status is a Shemer Ashayel. That the shulchan being able to use the money makes him a shayel. So let's keep in mind when we read the rest of the Gemara. But that's a big issue the Rishonim deal with. We'll speak a couple explanations, chalukim, an answer why it's different. But the Rishonim are very bothered. Rambam brings both these halachas, and I think it's Rambam. But the Rishonim are Rabbi Ephraim, Rashba, Ritva, or Ravid. They all ask that why in the Gemara in Daf Chavtes are we saying that the fact that he could use it, the money in the interim, this is the Baal Aveda, the Shemer Aveda, the one who found it, the fact that he used it makes him into only a Sher B'Sachar, and by us is upgrading him all the way to a Shayel. Okay, we'll get back to that shortly. Let's finish up the Shachar Taya, and then we'll speak on the answer. Said Gemara, Eisvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Again, let's remind ourselves. Rav Nachman says that the Shulchani, until he uses it, is a Sher B'Sachar. Rav Huna says he's a Shayel. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Huna, Hamafkamaz is a Shulchani. This is the Mishnah in Me'ila. Legabe money that belonged to the Gizbar, well, money that belonged to the Hektish, I should say. And the Gizbar went and he stuck it with the Shulchani. The reason why he did it was a mistake. He did it by mistake. He threw his own personal money. He mixed up his wallet with the wallet of Hektish and put it by the Shulchani. Otherwise, he should not be putting Hektish's money by the Shulchani. Okay. But Imtzruin, says the Mishnah, very much like our Mishnah sounds like, if the monies were bound, so the Shulchani should not be using him, says the Mishnah over there. Leish HaMisham, the Shulchani should use them. And the Fikach, if he does use them, it might see if he ends up using them. The Gizba is not Mael. Rather, who's Mael? The Shulchani is Mael, if he uses them. The Mutarim, but if the monies were loose, and when you give loose money to Shulchani, he has the rights to use it. So the second the Gizba gave to Shulchani, he really moved it out of Hektish by giving it to the Shulchani with the right to use it. So who's Mael? The Gizba's Mael. The Mutarim, Yishamish Bam, then the Shulchani is able to use it. And the Shulchani is using it, creates Me'ila and it's Me'ila on the Gizbar. The Fika Chabaitzi, Mael Gizbar, the Gizbar's Mael. Big question, how's the Gizbar ultimately be Mael with the act of the Shulchani? L'chore, at the very best, it's like Shliach, but we have a Klal, Ein Shliach V'Avera, so the short answer is, we'll get back to this as well, but the short answer is that Ein Shliach V'Avera attack applies all over, besides for three exceptions, one of them, of course, is Me'ila. Me'ila is one of the main sources of Shliach's B'Chal, and Me'ila also is a source that is an exception. We have drushes that we say, Yesh Shliach V'Avera by Me'ila, even though all over we say not. Okay. But the Shulchani would get Mila if the Gizbar, I should say, would get Mila if the money was given to the Shulchani untied. If it was tied, then the Mila is on the Shulchani himself. Now, says Rav Nachman to Rav Huna, V'yamr tafil nensu, but according to you, that even if there's Einus there, even if the Shulchani loses the money by Einus, he's got to pay back. Ma'ir Yehaitzi, why are you saying the last line of the Brisa was the Fikachim Haitzi, if the Gizbar uses the money, the Mamal Gizbar, if the Shulchan uses the money, the Gizbar is Mael. Why does the Shulchan have to use the money? The fact that he has the right to use it, according to Rav Huna, made him a Shayel already, the highest level. You already made the ability to use it is already like a Mila. So why didn't Mayer Haitzi a few lights and I'm even without using it? Amalei, so Rav Huna is back, you're right. Who in the Seifa, even if the Shulchani would not be mighty the money to spend it, the fact that it was given to him, and the money was loose and he's able to spend it, that Mila was already done. The Gizbar is Eivar Mila. For I did tana reisha hoitzi symmetry purposes. I did tana reisha hoitzi since the reisha we say in chiddush that if the shulchan is mitzi it, the gizmer is not over mila. It's the shulchan it's over mila, not the gizmer, because the gizmer gave it to him bound, and the shulchan had no right to use it. So therefore, it's the shulchan's problem. He's over mila. Even if he uses it, it's not going to go back on the gizmer. So the safe also we use lashav hoitzi, but even it's lav dafka tana safe nami hoitzi, but it's lav dafka. Okay. That is the Shagrin Vitalia. But a couple points to this. First of all, getting back to our question. In our Sugya, the Rishonim come out that we paskin like Rav, like we paskin actually not Rav Nachman, we typically do, but we like Rav Huna, and we say that the Lech is Dilek Hashayim. As Dilek Hashayim. However, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Over there, Mamar said it backwards. Over there, over here we pass like Rav Nachman, like we typically do, and the status of the Shulchani is the fact that he could use it, his right to use it, makes him Shabbos Zachar, but not more. We said for Rashi, if he actually uses it, it becomes a Shael, but the fact that he could use it makes him simply like a Shomer Zachar, not like a Shael. Over there, on Daf Chavtes, again, I'm correcting what I said before, over there on Daf Chavtes, we say the fact that the one who found the Aveda, he sells the Aveda in a case where it's a depreciating asset. He sells the Aveda, or not just depreciating, but an asset that's costing more money than it produces. So you sell it, and that money, you could use the money, that makes him into a shomer, into a shayel. It upgrades him to a shayel. Why over there is he upgraded to a shayel, and over here is only upgraded to a shomer sachar? That is the question. So we'll speak out two answers, both brought in the Rashba, but b'shem different people. The first answer Rashba brings is b'shem b'ben Ephraim. He brings the answer b'shem b'ben Ephraim, and he says that you always go up one level. So by us, the shulchani, if he can't use the money, what is he? Yishar mechinim. We spoke to that when we saw the Mishnah. A shulchani who has money by him as a deposit and he can't use it, if he's not able to use it, for example, when it's bound and tied and sealed and all that, he can't use it, he's a shar mechinim. So the benefit of being able to use it upgrades him one level, so to speak. What's the next level of the shar mechinim? He has the obligations of a shar mezachar. As long as he's going to be in what's on Dav Chavtes by the Shem Raveda, we pointed out some achaikas, but let's assume we go like Rabbi Yosef, who holds that a Shem Raveda is a Shem Besachar because he's pata for pruta of ani, so he's ready Shem Besachar. So if he's ready Shem Besachar, the fact that he can, a general Shem Raveda is a Shem Besachar. So in our case, where he's selling the Aveda for money, and now he's able to use that money, he was ready Shem Besachar, being able to use on this Aveda, being able to use the money himself. Raises it one more level above Shem Besachar becomes a Shail. That's Ben Ephraim. Very simple. The ability to use the money always takes you up one level. So if you're Shem Mechinam in our Gemara, by Shulchan you become Shem Besachar. In that Gemara, by Shem Aveda is ready Shem Besachar. Again, it wouldn't work according to the opinion that Shem Besachar, that a Shem Aveda is a Shem Mechinam. But according to the opinion of Shem Besachar, that a Shem Aveda is a Shem Besachar, you go up one level and now you become a Shail. That is the Rabbi Ephraim's teretz. The Rashba then quotes a Raivid who says a different teretz. The Raivid says, interesting Svara, I barely even mentioned this morning, I was saying over to Rabbi Kanner, and before I even got a chance to speak it out, maybe he knew the Raivid itself, or he knew the Svara from elsewhere, but by the case of the Aveda, there's no telling when the guy's coming back. The guy lost it. He lost his cow. The cow was, that cow's a bad example, because the cow could plow the field and may have value. He lost the sheep, which is not bringing in any value. It has some shearings, but it's not enough value to cover its expense. So the guy who found it sold it. He's holding the money for whenever, hopefully, whenever the Baal Aveda comes, but that may not be for years. Who knows when the guy's coming to fetch his money? And therefore, there's like a smichas das that you could use it, that your mamash able to use it. And since there's a smichas das, use it, like it makes sense in society that the Shemar Aveda should be able to use his money more freely, we call it. Therefore, he gets the status of a shayel. In our case, by Shulchani, it's true that when the money is loose, the Shulchani can use it. But there's also an understanding that the guy who deposits the money knows he deposited by the Shulchani, he knows where the money is, he knows where the bank is, and he wants to have the ability to come and kind of, take out the money, make a withdrawal whenever he wants. And therefore, even though the Shulchani has rights to use it, there's this opposite force that there should be money available from the Shulchani to this fellow whenever he comes to draw it out, and therefore, that limits his rights to use it a little more encumbered. I don't think it makes a practical difference what he uses it for, but the understanding, the smichas das of him using it is weaker. The depositor has less of his mechazas of him using it, and therefore it only goes to a level of Shem Zachar, not a level of Shail, as I emphasize the Raivid. Okay, now before we go further to the Mishnah, I know we're short on time because we're late, and the next part of the daf is even a little more cheshmedik. But one more quick point, because we touched on the idea of shliach d'arveira. So we said that me'ila is one of the three cases of yesh shliach d'arveira. The other two cases are actually cases that came up recently. The first one is tavach u'machar. If a person steals an animal and he shechts it or sells it, the lach is, even if you do tvicha d'acher compared to zayim to mechira d'acher, one is chayev, even if it's done by a third party, he's chayev d'alvei. Typically, you do avera d'alvei shliach, you're not chayev. The one who does it's chayev, not the Mishalech, but over here, Mishalech is Michayev Dalvei, that's one case. And of course, Shlichas Yad, we have to have the Mesech, that's going to be the whole next Mishnah, Shlichas Yad, if the Shamer is Shlech Yad in the item, if he Shlech Yad through another party, through a third party, you say Yeshlech Ravera, and the Mishalech is, the Shamer is going to be Chayev. So those are three cases. Problem is, Rambam brings one exception to the rule. Rambam says, you know we have Shlech Ravera? By Me'ila. And he leaves that Shlichas Yad and the Chiv of Dalvei, by Tavach Umachar. He leaves out those two cases. The question is why? Why does Rambam leave it out? So there's a couple answers. The Achrayim will deal with many deal with the question. We'll speak out two answers. The Or Sameach suggests that Shlichas Yad and Tavach HaMachar are really they are averus, but they're really based on a pretext. I mean, you only get to Dalad Ve'e if there was first a Gneva of the animal first, and similarly, you only get to Shlichas Yad if first you're a Shamer and then you Shlich Yad, then you have this obligation. So since over there, whatever the shliach is doing is dependent on part of the status. There's like a storyline that had to happen first with the mishleach. So over there we could say, yeshlich ravera, meaning, or I say better, we wouldn't even consider that a classic yeshlich ravera. It's not stam outright a shliach doing me a service. I'm getting yichus, the avera is being miyachus back to me. Over there, what they're doing doesn't have status without me, and therefore connects back to me. It's not a classic shliach of avera. That is the arsemech, as opposed to the case of me'ila. Me'ila really could be a classic shliach of avera. Really, the guy was ma'el, he should be chayev. Even when a person is mal b'shagig, he's over me'ila. So the guy who was ma'el, he should be chayev. And the fact that it goes back to me, that's a classic shliach of avera. That's what Rambam only quotes that. Rambam agrees to the Gemara. There's three exceptions, but he holds those aren't really such exceptions. That's arsemech. Today speaks a similar but different approach from the Maritz. Also, that again, we agree that all these three cases, yesh shliach v'avera, but those cases wouldn't be called so much shliach v'avera because by the case of the guy who stole, and then he goes and shechts it. The shechita is a not so much that it's as part of the story of the gneva, but it's only because it's part of the pshia. Part of the pshia of the guy who stole it is not only did I steal it, now under my domain, under my kinyan gneva, it's getting shechted. It really is just exasperating the pshia of the ganev. Or the shamer was shliach yad, and he had obligation to watch it. Not only is he not watching it, he's being shliach yad, or he's making a shliach be shliach yad. It's just really an exasperation of his pshia. Again, similar but a little bit different than the arsemech, and therefore in those cases you don't have to come onto the regular yeshlich v'avira. Even without that, maybe over there we'd say the mishlech is chayev, but by me'ila that's a real exception to the rule of yeshlich v'avira, as I emphasize for the marit or the arsemech on Rambam. Okay, zakti mishnah. Hashleich yabe pekadin. One who shleich yabe pekadin. This is the case we just referenced. You have a shamer who has a pekadin, and he shleich b'yad. He takes it with intent to go and keep it for himself. We had a machlekes already yesterday, I'll come again today, whether it's not called shleich yabe until he actually causes some sort of monetary loss, or even without that, meaning chasar and kisser not. We'll see that, but okay. The case is you have a shamer, he was shleich yad, and then the animal, and then the item, could be an animal, later got destroyed. So the shail is, what price does he have to pay back? Meaning, the animal in the interim could have gone up in value and down in value. Does he pay like the value of what it was when he received the item as pekadin? Does he pay the value of what it was at the time it was broken? Let's see. Beshama Imrim, Yulaka Bechas V'yeser. He gets the worst of any situation. Decrease or increase the value throughout any of the term of when he had it, he's got to pay the highest amount of what it was at any time. That is Beshame. So you go based on what it was worth when he received it, or based on what it was worth when it was damaged, whatever is worse for the Shamer. Okay, based on Imrim, Kishasetza. You go based on Kishasetza. The Mara's going to have a whole long conversation. What does Kishasetza mean? The options really are Kishasetza, meaning Kishasetza when it was taken away from the world, when it was destroyed, or Kishasetza means the base Bailam, when it left the owner's possession into the Shemir's possession. Is that what he's going on? That you go based on that, or based on what was destroyed? But Basil argues and says, you don't just give the worst of both worlds, you go based on Kishasetza. We'll see what that means shortly. And lastly, a third Chita, Rabbi Kiva Imer Kshasat Fia. Rabbi Kiva says you go based on the time of the claim, not based on the time of the Yitzah or the time of the Yitzim based Bailam or of the destruction, but time of the claim in court. We'll see more about that as well. Mitzvah, hopefully, guys, today. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. But But okay, three of machlokes. Interesting, we just had less than a week ago, we had a machlokes b'sham b'sil, and Rabbi Kiva weighed in. And if you recall, Rashi says that Rabbi Kiva was a shamuti. Rabbi Kiva is typically described like a shamai, and over here saying, Maidani bazeh, over here I agree to b'sil, and Tyson right away argues Rabbi Kiva is not for sure like b'shamai. We have cases where Rabbi Kiva clearly goes like b'sil. He just means might in this case, I'm signing with b'sil. I'm not going to even, or in a specific scenario, everyone should agree to b'sil, but not that it should be a proof whether one way or another that he sides with b'sil or b'shamai. In our Gemara, to kill a little suspense, our Gemara is ultimately explained in a way where it seems like Rabbi Kiva is riding on the heels of b'sil. Hillel, and not so much Amei Shammai. Okay, we'll see. Amar Rabba. Haiman, this Gemara is very famous from Perek Meruba, Bava Kama. Haiman, the Gozal Chavista Chamer Mechaver. A guy steals a barrel of wine from his friend. Mekar Shav Zuzi Ash Shavi Arba. At the time he stole it, it was worth one Zuz. Now, the value went up. By the time it got destroyed, it was worth four Zuz. We'll see what happened in a second. But now it's worth four Zuz. Tavr Shasya, if it got broken or drunk at the time, that's worth four Zuz. Meshalam Arba. The Gazlin who stole it has got to pay four. It's from a male, but if it broke by itself, if it's Tamazai broke, not by the Ganav, but by some outside force, then Bisham Duzah, he only has to pay the value of it was Bishasi stole. And then Rab explains, my time, but we have this Gemara pretty much in Bava Kama. The biggest difference is going to be a couple extra words that we'll point it out that come up right now. My time, Rab explains what's the reasoning. Kivin this, the Isa, since if it would still be around, hardly the Rabini could have given it back as is. So, meaning, what's the reason why he has to pay the higher price for if he destroys it now? When he stole, it's only worth one. And Kola, everything you steal, you pay Kshasak Zela. So why are you paying now the higher price? Because if it would still be around, you'd have to give it back as is, Beina, to the Baal. And therefore, and now was right before you destroy it, it's worth four. So when you go and destroy it now, when it's worth four, it's like a new Gzela. Hai, Shaita, to Kshasle, at that moment you drink it, to Katavu, you break it, Kagazamine. These are the words that the Gemara, I don't believe the Gemara of Bava Kama has. Kagazmine, it's like a new, effectively, it's a new stealing. Utsanan. And we learned, Kagazanim, Misham, Kshasak Zela. So we use that very same mission that we were saying a moment ago, say you should only pay one Zuz, to say you got to pay four Zuz, because we're viewing it as if there's a second Gzela that took place. And the reason why this is very interesting, that we're stressing here very clearly, it's a second Gzela, because over there in Bava Kama, there's a famous Mechalikis, Ksais, and Nesivis, what the Nekuda is, why are you Chayef for? If you went and damaged it when it was worth four, why chayav four? The Ksais learns it can't be because it's like a new gzela, mamish. That can't be the taich. Because once it's stolen, you can't steal it again. One who steals from a gazan doesn't have the dinar gzela. A ganim and a ganav is potter, he's potter from kefil. You don't have the regular dinar over here. You're treating him like a second time gazlan. He stole it already. He's stealing a second time. Therefore, Ksais says the chiv is mazik. The first chiv was gzela. And even though you have a concept of Kerenik Zela, but if it went up in value, and then you destroyed it, you have a Chiyav now of Mazik. That's what Gzela learns. But a Sivis over the held, it's a Chiyav of Gzela. Gzela number one, we'll call it Gzela number two. Gzela number one, Gzela number two. And our Gemara seems to read at face value slightly better with the Sivis. Our Gemara here, which is more elaborate, reads more like a Sivis. Okay, but those do Malchim. So Rab is saying that if you break it physically, and when it's worth four, you got to pay the four. If it's broke by itself, then you pay the value of what it was when you stole it, which is the time when you stole it was worth only one. You only pay one. If by Mela, the more elaborates, we just spoke this out. If it broke by itself, Masham says you only pay one. My time, hash level midi, right? Did nothing. So what did you do? The original act of gzela at that time was worth one. The original time of stealing, at that time it was worth one zuz. Very nice kishmak gemara. What does that do with us over here? We'll see right now. We're just bringing you a say from Rabba that if you steal something, it was worth one, then it becomes worth four, and then it breaks. If you broke it, you chayav four. If it broke by itself, you chayav only one. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to our Mishnah. Tanan. Mishnah says that the Shulchani, that's the last Mishnah, but that the Shemir Pekodin, if you shalech bayad, and then it gets damaged, he pays Kishas Itza. What does that mean? My Kishas Itza. If it means at the time it got destroyed, so what's the case? But my, if it got destroyed, what happened to it? It became worth less or more? Let's analyze. If it was worth less when it was destroyed than it was worth when he first took it, is there any madamar that says you receive a Pekod that's worth 100, it became worth less, you shalech bayad, and then it became worth less, and then you destroyed it. You're going to get off the hook by paying only 50 because it was worth only 50 when you destroyed it. Avad yichayev for what it was worth when it came into your possession. Says the Rav, if it got worth less since from when he did the shlichus yad, miklam and amar, is there anyone that's going to say he gets off the hook to pay less? We know every time you have a gzela, you got to pay at least the value it was, which is kashas gzela. Vatanam, we just quoted this two lines ago. Kol gazan misham kashas gzela. Any old gazan pay kashas gzela. So elamai, Rosh Rabbisol saying, if you touch it when it gets destroyed, it means only the other way. If it went up in value, you paid the value it was when it got destroyed, the higher value. That's exactly what Bishami said. EBS, he's not arguing Bishami. What's going on over here? Says Gemara, Ela pshita, what must be the case? Kishas etzah mebeis ba'ilim. Kishas etzah mebeisil doesn't mean from the world. It means from the ba'ilim. Meaning, when you originally removed it from the ba'ilim, which I said it wrong before. I think I attached before, kishas ba'ilim, when you remove it from the ba'ilim means when he gives it over the pekadon. That's not what it means. It means when you shlech ba'yad. When the pekadon is given from the ba'ilim to watch by the shomer, that's fine. When the shomer decides, I'm going to be shlech ba'yad, I'm going to take it for myself, that's the moment that he's chayev based on that value that it's worth. Says Gemara, that's a very nice pshat, but you know what comes out? Rab is saying that if it becomes worth more, you got and then you went and smashed it or broke it, did whatever you did, you got to pay the higher amount. That's what Rab said. Who does that feel like in our Mishnah? It feels like Beishamai. That's exactly what Beishamai says in the Mishnah. If it goes up or down, you pay like the higher amount. According to Beisil, you'd only pay the amount that it was when you decided to steal it. And if it goes up, you don't have to pay the higher amount. So Rab is going to come out, which Rab is we passing like. Rab is famous, did a Tavar Shasi, which is a famous sugya in, again, Bavakama, a famous sugya in the Yeshivas. We'll know it. Rab's din is only like Beishamai, not like Beisil. Says Gemara, Lame Rab, Lame Ka Beishamai. That can't be. So we have to reinterpret our Mishnah in order to not land that Rabba is coming out like Beishamai. So rather, we need a new machlokes, a new explanation in Beis Hillel, and a new explanation in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amalek Rabba, Rabba will tell you. So really, just to pause for a second, without Rabba, we have a good explanation of our Mishnah. Beis Hillel says you go based on the time that you had the Shlichus Yad, whatever it was worth then, that's what you got to pay. And Beishamai says you pay the higher of whatever it was worth, right, earlier or later, you pay the higher amount. That would be a simple Gishmak explanation of the Mishnah. Our only issue is it fits like Rabbah, not that Beishamai fits like Rabbah, and therefore we don't like that. But from our Mishnah in a vacuum, it would be fine. But Rabbah's going to say, I don't like that Pshat. So Rabbah's going to give a new Pshat. And the first should speak out of here that even though Gemara doesn't say it, we're switching the Taich of Haitzah, not based by Elim, it's going back to destruction when it gets destroyed from the world. Amalek Rabbah, Rabbah will say, we'll go for 3-4 minutes. I know. Let's try to get to 2 dots. Amalek Rabbah, but yes, sir. In a case where it went up in value, Klamalek Pligibon agrees that in a case where he destroyed it, went up in value, you pay the higher amount of what is destroyed right now. Rabbah's din, Tavar Shasa, you got to pay the higher amount, like my Rabbah says. Ki Pligibon, what's machlag? It's Bechasar. When it went down in value, Beishamai says, Shichas Yad doesn't need Chazar. We touched on this idea before. Shichas Yad, in order to be qualified as if you stole it, it doesn't have to have a loss involved. And therefore, the second Shlech Bayad, it already is as if you stole it. And therefore, if it goes down in value, it's your loss. You, the Shomer, and you still have to pay the value of what it was. Bishas, you Shlech Bayad, you have to pay the higher value. So Chazar is your loss. Beisil Savri, no. Shichas Yad requires Chazar. It requires a loss. And therefore, if Chazar, and when it becomes Chazar, is only later. When it got, when it became worth less, it was still in the rishus of the original bialim. Rishus of the Maria Chasar, it became worth less while it's still in the rishus of the original owner. And therefore, when it goes down in value, the shomer will not have to pay for that which goes down in value. And therefore, he gets to pay less according to Beis Hillel. It's a very nice plan again, but we just had a machlekes, and we pointed out just 2 days ago that Rav is of the opinion that Shlichus Yad does require, does not require Chasarin. So Rav is going to come out like Beishamai. Beis Hillel was saying, hold, Shlichus Yad needs Chasarin. Beishamai holds doesn't need Chazaren. So says Elo Hadam Rava. This is Rava says Shichazad and Shichazaren. Lame Rava Dama Kibeshamai. Rava is going to come back Beishamai. We don't like that either. Rava won't be happy with this Pshat. So Rava wasn't happy with the first Pshat. Doesn't jump Rava. Rava is not happy with the second Pshat. Again, a viable Pshat in our Mishnah, but it doesn't help if Beishamai is coming like Rava. Rava is not going to like this Pshat. So we come up with a third Pshat. Says the Mara Ella Hachamai Skin. And again, we're talking about still a case where it was destroyed from the world, and that's when Beis Hillel is saying you have to pay based on that value. But the reason is as follows: the shamer took the barrel because he wanted to use it as like a ladder to stand on it and get some young birds from the dovecot. When you borrow something without permission, what your status is? Beishamai says Shosha Madas, he's Gazlan, he's regular Gazlan, and therefore for Chichaser, when it goes down in value afterwards, it's Bereshus say it's running his Rishus the Shamer, he's a Kenyan Gzela, and he suffers the loss. Bereshus Day Chaser, he's got to pay the higher amount to the Baal of this barrel. Beisil Savi Shosha Madas Shelavi. Beisil agrees that a Shel can't borrow without permission. He's not disagreeing that it's us to borrow that permission, but it does make you a Gazlan. You still have a status of a Shel, and therefore it's not mamish fully in your Rishus. For Chichaser, went down in value, it went down in value in the Rishus of the owner, and therefore Bereshus the Mari Chaser. And then when it gets destroyed, it's very worth less, so the Shomer pays the lower amount, not the higher amount, because it depreciated in value, not in the Rishus of this Shomer. Ask Gemara, Elhadam Rava, Shosha Madas, the Rabbanan Gaznavi. Rava says that a Shosha Madas, according to Rabbanan, has the din of a Gazlan. Is Rava's din going to be like Beishamai? Lame Rava, Dama Ka Beishamai. Let us say Rava's like Beishamai. So we're running the same problem again. You're trying to avoid Rava being like Beishamai. You're back there again because that's Beishamai Shita, that a Shosha Madas is a Gazlan. Ella, the Mara gives a fourth and final successful solution. Until now, we've been talking about the animal going up and down in value, but not value, actual real value creation. What I mean by that is, it's just market value, went up and down. Now we're talking about value that's created by the animal. For example, vlodis, gizes. Now we're talking about those types of items. Says Gemara, we have to hurry up. Says Gemara, the improvement of the gzela itself belongs to nigzalavi. It belongs to the kinyan gzela and it belongs to the nigzal. It's like kind of bishinai. Really, we spoke out in the past. Everyone agrees it could be kind of bishinai, but it's shalvi knas. We'll get back to that in a moment. Bezil savri shvach gzela the gazlan. Bishul holds that shvach of the gzela goes to the gazlan. The gazlan gets the sorry, I said that wrong. Bishami says it goes to the nigzal. The victim, he gets to keep the shvach. And Mesil says the Gaza has kinyan gzela, and the Gaza gets to get the shvach. We'll book tonight, and this machlokes, same machlokes as the Tanai, we had this earlier. The Tanya, a gezel, as a rachel, one who steals a female sheep, Gaza, and he shares the wool, Violda, or gave birth, or not and, or gave birth, those are all value adds. Meshah Mesa, Veskisel, Vesvedesel, you have to return it all to the nigzel. That's like Beshamay saying, Remeir fits like a glove with Beshamay. And we said before, even though Remeir may hold Shinus Kaina, we discussed this, Remeir holds Shinus Kaina, but we knas the Gazan, the Gazan can't benefit and keep those milas, and therefore he has to give back the nigzel. Whereas, Rabbi Yudayimer, and this is what we're saying, Meshah Mesa, it goes, Gzeel, Chazer, Spain, it goes back to the, it stays by the Gazan. The Gazan gets to keep it. He's kind of machinery. And therefore, that's the same as over here in our Mishnah. When we talk about increase or decrease, Beshame is saying, it all goes back. You have to pay the Chesvies. It doesn't mean the higher price, lower price. It means all the extra value. The Gizas Vadas goes back to the Nigzo. And Beshame says not. Beshame says the Gazan gets to keep it. Taken Amis Takim Meduyik, Titani, Beshame Aimim, Yilke Bechasviesser, the Lashon Yilke Bechasviesser, Rashi says, if it's talking about value, market value, should say Zoyal or Yiker. Yiker and Zoyal is market value. Chesvieser is what in itself created an increase or decrease in value from it itself. That is a good right. We'll pause over here. We'll pick up and keep it tomorrow.